excellent education that prepares them for life's challenges by providing innovative instruction filled with engaging, experience-based learning opportunities delivered by highly qualified educators in a safe, stimulating, and respectful environment.
Thank you. All right, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda tonight?
Not an addition or deletion, but I do have an edit, and that is item E8. I expressed in my board update the need to expand the Colt Club by one additional position before and after school for third grade section. And I'll explain more about that when I get to the official recommendation. However, I screwed up the alteration pretty badly. Instead of the original one said 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, it still says 3 and 3. It should be 4 and 4. Okay. And then it says a total of 7. Well, 3 and 3 don't total 7, and 4 and 4 don't total 7. So it will be 8 total. All in all, it's good news is the reason for needing the extra person, and I'll explain that when we get there. Did you get those edits, Mr. Hudson? Thank you.
Other than that, it's all correct. Huh?
Yes.
Two things. Jeff, yep. First of all, if my phone rings, I have to answer it, and I'll be leaving.
Absolutely.
Not leaving the board meeting, just leaving to be in private to
okay.
talk. Number two, if I could get thrown in for 5 to 7 minutes at the end of the agenda, that'd be fine.
At the end?
If I can't, yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere at the end.
Okay.
Do we have executive session, Colin?
No.
Okay. Some
no.
at the end would be great. If I can't, that's fine, too.
Yeah. No, I think that'll work out well tonight. Great. Okay. All right, we had the minutes of the January 14th organizational meeting and the January 14th regular session distributed. Is there a motion to accept those?
So moved.
Thank you. Jason, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jane. Any comments or questions about those at all? They all look okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we have the roll, please?
Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schmock?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. Okay, recognition and public participation. At this time, we will hear comments from the public. Please give your name and address and limit your remark to 3 minutes. Since this is a business meeting of the Board of Education, this will be the only open remarks opportunity for the public at tonight's meeting. All other questions or concerns that may arise should be directed to an administrator or board member at a later date and time. Is there anybody that would like to address the board?
Jim.
Okay. All right.
Well,
then.
Well, there is a gentleman right yeah. back here.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Dave Burpickler. I live at 7190 Ballish Road, and my son is a junior at Cloverleaf. I have a daughter that graduated last year. And the reason I'm here tonight, well, two things, so I'll try to make it quick. The first is my son was a victim or was involved in a school bullying incident a couple years ago, a hazing. And it was handled at the time. He's okay with it. And I take it his advice is that he's okay with it. The questions come up since then about the school's policy. And I've looked at Cloverleaf's policy and I've looked at some other school districts' policies. And it's actually a very limited policy in terms of, I'm not sure where Cloverleaf is documenting stuff. That if there's a case of bullying that occurs in the school, is it being documented? Is it being documented as substantiated? Is it being documented as unsubstantiated? I don't want to get in a situation where 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, somebody comes out and says, hey, this happened and your kid was involved in it, or I was bullied at the school and your kid was involved in it, and now somebody is at the point of trying to prove a negative. So I've got a sample policy for a form that I'd like to leave with you to take a look at. This is something that other school districts have used. So I would just ask that. The second thing I would like to also mention, different topic, is on, and I know the school board's been talking about pipeline money that they might receive and where they're going to spend that. I would encourage the school board to take a serious look at where the school's achievement levels are. Before we worry about building buildings, let's work on building students. Okay, my daughter took classes here in math, went off to college, and she had to take remedial math again. It didn't fit with what the colleges were looking for. Thank you.
Okay, well, we appreciate you coming and sharing these. I just want to write a couple notes, if you give me a second. Okay, was there anybody else? Okay, Mr. Gilder, you're on our agenda.
Yes, I was contacted by Mr. Jim Gilder, who is a retired educator from Cloverleaf, who asked to be placed on the agenda tonight. And there he is, Mr. Gilder. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to take this out of here, please. My name is Jim Gilder. Many of you know me. I was a 39-year educator, 33 years here at Cloverleaf. I was in the English department and also the drama department. I directed all the plays and the musicals, and that's the reason I'm speaking to you tonight. As you know, we were just told that there's an influx of money coming from the Nexus pipeline, and I'd like to address that. In 1977, August, Principal Eugene Clark from Gene Clark Stadium took me on the tour of the school, took me to the cafeteria and said, this is where you'll do your one acts. He said, you'll do your fall play, which was then called the senior class play, over at Westfield. We walked by that time to the gym balcony. He says, now if you look this way, we put our stage here sometimes, and other times we put it down here, but this is where you'll do your musical. We're planning to build a performing arts center. It's only been 42 years. Many years have gone by. In fact, Jerry Garcia, who was also the music band director, he and I went on many fact-finding trips trying to find some information to build a performing arts center. As you know, we then went to a hard time at this school in this district. We didn't pass levies, and that became a moot point. Now, all the schools around here, Medina, Wadsworth, Brunswick, even the consolidations, Highland, Buckeye, Black River, all have performing arts centers. I think it's time that we have that as well. I'm with a group called Friends of the Cloverleaf Cultural Arts Committee. We think it should be a cultural center because I am very fond of performing arts, but we also have dance, music. Mr. Winter, can you imagine? He's the one that took over for Jerry, having a band concert rather than having to roll the shelves out of the gym and doing a real concert. Mr. Tim, with his various show choirs, swing choirs, community choirs, being able to do a show there. The community could use this. It's something that other outside groups, if you may know a group called Oromocco under Thomas Siegel, Ohio Regional Music Cultural Outreach, they perform, he brings in groups from all over the world. They do workshops at schools, and then they do a concert at one of their schools, often Highland now because they had the Performing Arts Center. I think if we had something like this, we would be able to join the rest of the county and be a standard that the Cloverleaf students, parents, and the community would really appreciate. Various Board of Education, like there's not too many people here, but if you had various meetings about maybe what to do with the money, you might have a lot of folks. You could have it on the stage and it would help. You could have speakers in from all over. I don't want to get too wordy here, but all I know is that it is time for our community to move forward and have a arts center. Two things in leaving you. I know you're going to be told, Board, Mr. Kabilis, about what to do with this money, I'll give you two words of advice. Don't take a Las Vegas junket. It looked bad. Secondly, build an arts center.
Can I ask a question before you leave, sir? What would be the difference in your mind from an art center to a, what are we talking about, a stage type of set?
Or an auditorium.
Yes, what's the difference between an art center? Mostly wording, because art center, some of the people on my group were visual artists. If you've been to Highland or Medina, they put the artwork on their walls outside their building. It could be called a performing arts center. It could be called a shoe and dance, you know, soft shoes. Oh, I don't care what it's called, actually. But I think we need it as much as anything. We need something with a stage, auditorium. We have what's now. You've been to the school across the street, the elementary school. We have a cafetorium. Now, the cafetorium is really lacking in seating, in staging space, in everything that makes for a real theater. You know, it's a step forward. It's nice for elementary school, but it is basically taking a step backwards when they built that. It was a stopgap measure because something needed to be done because we didn't have the elementary schools. So that was, I think, the step that was made.
Would an auditorium be enough to satisfy this group?
An auditorium? You're going to say something?
I would just like to add on this committee.
What not?
I would just like to add that this is not only a performing arts center. This is an art. So we have the visual arts. We have photography. We have art painting. We have all encompassing the definition of arts. And the other important thing is to think of it as a community asset. Yes, it's going to be here on the, hopefully it will be here on the campus, but it also will be something that will pull the Cloverleaf community together and something that the community in itself can be proud of. And once the facility is built, we can, it can open up to, you know, all sorts of art and culture in the area, which we really need.
Does that answer your question?
Well, if it doesn't, I'm not going to tell her no. Go ahead.
She'll get on you for sure. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Student recognition.
Mr. Schreiber, we have some distinguished athletes here this evening who we would like to honor. And to start that, I would call our athletic director, Mr. Craig, walk up to the microphone.
Thank you for having us. Through our fall sports this year, we had three of our student athletes achieve the honor of making the All-Ohio teams in their respective sports. And I think what would be best served is if I had the head coaches come up and talk a little bit about each one of these students. So we have Adam Michael from girls golf come up, Justin Voorhees from football, and Garth Gooker from cross country. If they would go ahead and come up, then we'll have the student athletes come up. But their honors are quite lengthy, and I don't want to miss anything. So come on up.
How's everybody doing tonight? I'm Adam Michael. I had the privilege of coaching Avery Hanna for 4 years. Avery Hanna literally has just been playing golf for 4 years. She started out shooting 121. Of course, that was her first 18-hole experience. Almost after that, she wanted to quit. But she stuck with it, thankfully. And she ended up, in her senior year, she has broken or tied every record in Cloverleaf history. She is the only player to make it out of the sectional, Division I, as an individual, and also to make it down into state, where she finished 19th overall. She also has the record for shooting a 68 as her low, which is impressive. Yeah, I've watched her get better and better every year. It's not only that, but she is, I always like to say that she is a student athlete. It's not an athlete student. She's also averaging a 4.0 here at Cloverleaf, which is pretty impressive. Really comes down to she is a hard worker. She's been working hard for 4 years for me. She's set an amazing example for me with her leadership and her discipline, and she's paved the way for future generations at Cloverleaf by her leadership, and even sometimes coaching out there too with some of the younger players that we've had. It's been a privilege and honor to have her on the team, and she also has got, she is the first athlete of mine to get a full ride to Division I school, being Cleveland State University.
Wow. Wow. Very good.
Good evening. My name is Garth Gooker. I'm the cross-country coach at Cloverleaf, and it's my honor to introduce Max Gooker and his outstanding season that he had. He's over here. Okay, Max is a junior, and this year, throughout the season, he won three individual titles at the Seneca East Invite and the Avon Lake Invite and the Medina Invite, and then he was second in the league at the PTC. He was third at the Ohio District for Northeast. He was sixth at the Northeast Youngstown Regional, and then he was 26th in the state, and for cross country, the top 30 received the All-Ohio status for that. So an outstanding season for him, an outstanding honor for myself as his coach and his father as well. So it's a double blessing for me. So congratulations, Max.
Hello, I'm Justin Voorhees, head coach of the football team. We have Nate Klingon with us tonight, an outstanding young man. I remember when I took over 4 years ago, he was a freshman. And I think what a lot of people can take away, he was a good player, but he did not stand out. And after that season and the off season, he's in the weight room every day working. I look at him and I said, "You don't plan on playing Saturdays next year, do you?" He said, "No, sir." And he worked really hard his sophomore year, and then started for us on the offensive side of the ball, but became an All-Ohioan, a first-team All-Conference player two times, All-Ohioan two times, and Medina County Gazette player, first-team player two times. Through just his work and his effort and his drive, recently he was selected to be in the state All-Star Game, Division 1 through 3 for the North team, which is quite an honor. We haven't had that since, I think, Kyle Juszczyk and Cody Roberts back in 2008. And he's our first player since 2012 to receive a Division I football scholarship. And he's going to an outstanding football program, but even more importantly, an outstanding school at Duquesne University. Nate Klingon.
Congratulations. Thank you for
Duquesne.
Pardon?
Division One.
Pardon?
Duquesne is Division One. They're not a bad team.
Maybe.
Kid's a stud.
Well, we're not done doing recognitions yet. This is an exciting time for our Board of Education. There's lots of opportunities awaiting us, both academically as well as with the future proceeds that have been discussed here with the Nexus funding. And being a member of the Board of Education, we realize, consumes a lot of your time, and oftentimes it becomes a thankless job. And on behalf of the administration, the teachers, the support staff, and the Cloverleaf community, we'd just like to take a minute to honor and recognize you, our members of our Cloverleaf Board of Education, for all of your hard work to make a wonderful education for our students here in this wonderful school district. So with that being said, I have some nice certificates here that says this certificate is presented in sincere appreciation for exemplary leadership and service to public schools, School Board Recognition Month, January 2019, and it is signed by the president of the Ohio School Boards Association, as well as the chief executive officer, Mr. Jim Curran.
Mr. Jason Myers. Mr. Bill Schmock. Mrs. Jane Rich. And our board president, Mr. Jeff Schreiber.
I was going to make a remark that this is why we do this job so eagerly, but then I thought somebody might take me seriously, so I'm going to just pass on that.
No.
Okay.
Thank you all.
All right. Fantastic.
Okay, just a few personnel items, if you're ready, Mr. Schreiber. Item C1 is our county, Medina County teacher-tutor additions for the month from the county ESC. Item C2 is for a high school maintenance and elementary paraprofessional position that are both vacant. Neither one of these two positions is a new position. Item C3 is two current employees who bid on different posted positions and were the successful candidates being awarded the jobs. These positions as well are not new positions. Item C4 is for a level 2 unsupervised building volunteer or chaperone who has met our district's background check requirements. Item C5 is an addendum to the Transportation Director John Ewart's contract. As of 2 weeks ago, John has driven a school bus over 420 hours this school year, in addition to all his regular duties as our Transportation Director. So that's an additional 10 weeks of work since August of this year on top of his responsibilities as our Transportation Director. Had the district been able to procure substitutes, which we were not during this time, we would have paid over $6,600 for those substitutes. Due to the shortage of bus drivers and the time it takes to get them certified, it is felt that John will be needed to continue driving a school bus for more times, far more than any of us would prefer for the remainder of this school year. We are trying some unique things that we'll talk about later in the meeting to enhance that. But this addendum to John's contract is a one-time $5,000 addendum. Is a token of appreciation for the 10-plus 40-hour weeks John has driven a school bus in addition to his regular transportation responsibilities, which, by the way, take a first look at the roads at 3 or 3:30 in the morning, as well as waiting until the last bus safely delivers our students at sometimes 5 o'clock or later on bad weather days. John, thank you for your sacrifices you have made for the betterment of our transportation department. Always without a complaint or an expectation of anything. I should also say thank you for the driving you continue to do as we attempt to get more substitute bus drivers signed up to drive for Cloverleaf. My recommendation is C1 through C5 by consent.
All right, we have heard items C1 through C5. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Are there any comments or questions about any of these items, C1 through C5? Everybody's good? All right, fantastic. Can we have the roll, please?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schmack?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. I'll just add my 2 cents that, John, we truly, truly appreciate everything you do. I don't have words to go beyond just saying we appreciate it. Absolutely. Well, it is a problem, actually, because you should have more drivers so you don't have to do this. All right.
Just a comment, if I could.
Sure.
The only thing that I can say is there have been many nights that I've had wonderful conversations with your son at the Career Center while he's waiting for you to quit driving. So I've become a smarter person. Thank you for that.
Okay, business and finance, Mr. Hudson.
All right, recommendation D1 is approval of the monthly financial reports. Looking at our investment earnings, we're just over $63,000 in the month of December for a total of $266,000 for this fiscal year. Comparing that to last fiscal year, we're up by $154,000. And in total for last month, we earned $38 from our Huntington credit card rebate program.
Really?
Looking at the cash balance for the 5-year forecast funds, decreased by 4.1% from November to December, or by $4.7 million. Comparing that to fiscal year 18, the cash balance is 25% higher, or a net increase of $4.7 million. We actually, that decrease is pretty typical this time of year. We start to receive our real estate settlements this month and next month, and you'll start to see that amount tick up. The food service cash balance decreased by $38,000 in December. Comparing to December of last fiscal year, the cash balance is $48,000 higher. And I did do a little bit of research because, as you can see, our cash balance has steadily been increasing from month to month. But I did want to just point out a couple of things. If we look at our month-to-month average increase, so far this year, we're increasing an average of 51% on a month-to-month change from last year to this year. So obviously, between meal price or our meal sales going up, free and reduced numbers going up, we're able to capture some of those additional revenues, as well as the way we purchase, our costs are down. So overall, our overall cash balance in the food service fund is getting better and better as we start to move through the fiscal year. I will make a note for next month, though. Because of the shutdown, we did not receive our December settlement, so that will probably not show up until February. So next month's may be skewed just a little bit. We have a couple days to receive it, but I don't think we will at this point, so that will show up in the prior, in the next month. So I'll make a note of that next month as well.
It'll show up more like in March?
Yes, correct.
And you do still receive all the funds?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So looking at the cash balance for all funds, decreased by 3.1% or by $829,000. And comparing that to last fiscal year, we're up 20.2% or $4.3 million. And we also had several negative cash balances within our title programs. And again, we have to spend those before we can receive those reimbursements.
And those we see every month.
Correct. Yep. It's a cycle.
Thank you for the lesson.
Yep. Looking at the expenditures within the 5-year forecast, are up $37,000 more in comparison to last year. Salaries at $321,000, benefits at $245,000 less, purchase services at $33,000 less, and supply material at $4,300 less. A couple things to keep in mind with our benefits. We just came off of our third month with our premium holidays. So as we start to progress the fiscal year, we'll catch up with that that overall projection. Looking at our salaries as well, compared to our overall projection, we're at 47.1%, so just slightly under. But again, a couple things to keep in. We still have two supplemental pays, one in March, one in June, and then a third pay in May. We also recently completed negotiations, as you all know. So those raises were now in effect as well. So those rates, that amount will start to get closer and closer. So overall, I'm pretty happy where we're at with our salary benefits, or salary projections. Looking at the benefits, we are under 34.3, but again, that's expected because of the insurance holidays, and that will start to catch up with itself. Purchase services at 42%, we are under projection, but now we're in those months where we start to see some larger utility, which is the bulk of purchase services. So again, that will start to catch up with itself. Also, excess costs and catastrophic costs, those are actually due now. So we'll start to see those flow in, and that will increase over the next few months. And in purchase services, we are down, and I may revise that projection slightly as we move into the next forecast. But overall, we're at almost 43% compared to our projections, and I'm completely happy where we're at. Recommendation D2 is approval of the local government service contract. Every year, we have to do a conversion of our cash basis to GAAP. So this is working with the state auditor's office for that services at $6,000 a year.
We have to do that?
We could do cash statements, but it could hurt our rating. So I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. So if we don't pay the government $6,000, our ratings may go down.
Potentially.
Boy, that's fair. Go ahead.
I know. Recommendation D3 is approval of three then and nows. Recommendation D4 is approval of a scholarship for journalism, and we are going to issue that this year. We have received the proceeds, and they are actually developing the criteria, so that's a new scholarship that you should see at graduation this year. Recommendation D5 is approval of sale of a saxophone. I don't know if you want to add on to that, Daryl.
I do not.
Okay. So my recommendations are D1 through D5 by consent.
All right, we have heard items D1 through D5. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Jason. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Jane. Any comments or questions about any of these?
So the saxophone didn't interest you at all?
No.
I wonder if he could play.
Oh, yeah.
Can you vote? Yeah.
He plays band, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He did something a couple years ago. He played with a guitar player or something in the cafeteria? Oh, yeah.
Piano.
He's good.
And you saw it. You witnessed it, huh?
Yeah. I saw it on Facebook or something.
Well, let's be careful. I have a reporter here in the front row.
Well, I'll ask a more legitimate question then. It's not something worth saving to help people learn how to do repair of instruments. I remember Mr. Winter telling me the story that when he took a class as part of his master's degree for repairing instruments, the first thing the teacher did was take a trumpet or a cornet or something and throw it against a brick wall as hard as he could and say, now we're going to repair this. So when you say it's beyond repair, I think that I've heard of classes where... Might be
for the record, we don't throw our instruments against the wall.
That's very good.
We just heard that? My son plays clarinet, okay. Apparently.
We discourage that. Huh?
We discourage that.
Oh, enough. All right, there was no serious comments or questions. All right, can we have the roll, please?
Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Smock?
Yes.
Mr. Shriver?
Yes. Now the superintendent's report, Dr. Kabilis.
Okay, items E1 through E5 are College Credit Plus agreements with five different universities, all on the same agenda. I don't think that's ever occurred before. We have those with Kent State University, Lorain County Community College, Toledo, University of Toledo, University of Akron, as well as Ashland University. And in fact, as you know, from Ashland, we have some of our own teachers who are adjunct faculty who our kids can get college credit from. So we're grateful for that partnership. Item E6 is a contract for one additional day of professional development support from state team math expert Steve Miller. E7 is a contract with a firm that utilizes several points of public record data, all housed in one place, to help us to determine residency, district residency. Oftentimes, we're not told when parents move out of the district. When this occurs and the student still attends Cloverleaf, it costs us thousands of dollars in allocated revenue that we don't receive that we otherwise would. The program will help us to identify these situations. Additionally, it will help save resources by not having to make as many calls, write letters and visits as we currently do to verify residency. We would like to try this contract for 1 year. If we're able to identify even one student who attends here but has moved out of the district, that one student will more than pay for the entire sum of this contract for 1 year. So that's a contract through CLEAR is what it's called. Item E8, we discussed Colt Club at our last board meeting, and it seemed to be met with optimism and enthusiasm by our board. One pleasant surprise follow-up to this is that during one of our recent literacy nights at the elementary school for third grade, we met several third grade parents who expressed the desire for their child, who was showing at risk in reading, to attend Colt Club. In fact, we have 20 more parents who have committed to bringing their child before or after school to Colt Club than we originally thought we would have. Adding a second section of third grade Colt Club would cost us an additional $1,000 for the 10-week program. Therefore, the recommendation, as I stated at the beginning of the meeting, is for 8 one-hour certified positions, 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, for a grand total of expenditure of $4,000, which we intend to allocate from federal title dollars that are already allocated by our federal government for our school district. So we would just reallocate those resources. So that is the recommendation for Colt Club. E9, in that last board meeting, we also reviewed a proposal to increase our substitute rates as proposed on the second page of the document that you were given. It basically increases food service helpers, custodians, maintenance helpers, parapros, and secretarial substitute rates to $11 per hour. It increases the substitute bus driver rate to $15 and creates a driver and training program as well, is an incentive to be a longer-term substitute bus driver at Cloverleaf with yearly increases incrementally for 3 years. Although talking to John, he feels that people would likely not be involved in that program for 3 years to start because we would likely hire them long before that. Additionally, beginning next school year, this scale would increase our substitute teacher rate from $85 per day to $95 per day to help us compete better with surrounding school districts. And finally, item E10. I'd like to thank the Seville Kiwanis Club for their $500 donation to our elementary school, as well as the group OutSupport they received from a grant from the Medina County Women's Endowment Fund for the purchase of books for our middle and high school libraries. My recommendation is items E1 through E10 by consent.
All right, we have heard items E1 through E10. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jason. Are there any comments or questions about any of these items?
No, I just want to thank you, Jim, for sending the thing that I asked for this morning,
yep.
Or Friday, I guess, showing what the actual salaries were compared to. I appreciate that. That just changed everything for me, and I didn't spend any more time on it, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I had two quick questions on the CLEAR Thomson Reuters contract. Does that help to figure out which students or families to look into, or does it just serve to provide easier access to the data that you're looking for? In other words, does it alert you of somebody?
It does. It does alert.
Does it?
Yes, wow. Based on entering, I think he called it a batch.
Yeah, you can do batch loads where it'll tell you it will flag certain things that you need to look into.
Wow. Well, that's better than just it being a one-stop shop for where to go to look for the data that you need, but the fact that it helps you to identify who to look at.
So yeah. Well, go ahead.
You can do individual, so if you have a new student coming in, you can check the residency right away, or what they recommend is once or twice a year do those batch levels just to double-check because people move in and out so much that that will do that review for you.
Yeah,
automatically.
It doesn't cost you each time you do a batch load, does it?
Correct.
Boy, I'd almost do it more than once or twice a year just to try to. Because if you, it's we were told if you catch one or two, then it's all paid for itself.
It's a monthly subscription price. We would anticipate if we can see money savings, which we think we will. They would offer a three-year contract with a cost savings on that. We would be paying just for one license for attendance secretary. It's very important that this they will only give you one password per person, and you would have to purchase more passwords. We, in our meeting with them, felt it was appropriate for us to just have our attendance secretary with access to this data.
Sure. Okay. My other question then is the Colt Club is a great thing. No problems or question about that. But at the last meeting, I had a question on my mind, and we didn't have some of the principals or assistant principals here that could help with this. Where we have tutoring now established very clearly in the high school, there's a program, and now third, fourth, and fifth, there's a program. Should we be looking at in the future that there's two different groups that then aren't covered under that span of the K through 2 or middle school level? And are there reasons why maybe it's not needed in K through 2 because you take care of that in other ways, or are there reasons that it's not needed at the middle school level because of the team teaching concept?
Well, after that conversation, I gave, as you recall, Brian was not at that meeting,
right.
And we had all guessed what you'd be saying according to his comments, and I gave Brian the heads up about that comment, and it's true that the past 2 years we have been reacclimating to the teaming concept, but I will tell you that Brian was very open to looking at something grade appropriate potentially for the future, and I've asked him to actually study that.
Okay.
As far as pre-K through 2, Karen's looking at me like, Daryl, you did not have that conversation with me. Well, it's because I knew you put in so much time to the Colt Club. The difficulty is age appropriateness, and the younger the students are, the more difficult it is to arrange things. That doesn't mean that we're not going to look to the future as to what we might be able to do. But the board has been so open to helping our students to achieve. And so you know, in Colt Club, we are tracking data. We were talking about data points. What data points can we assess now so then we can reassess 10 weeks from now? And what we're focusing on is something simple such as report card. Of course, then what happens is you can't discount the instruction that a teacher gives over the course of the year and say, well, it's all because of Colt Club. And I think there was some concern from at least the people I spoke to that could be a conclusion. Like any research, there's more elements that contribute to your final results than just one thing. But I think it will be helpful for you to see the results. And I want you to know that we're grateful for your investment in this, should you vote yes, and that we would we plan on giving you data like most things that we do, new initiatives. We want you to have the data to see the results of the money that you've expended, or in this case, the federal funds that you've agreed to let us reallocate.
Yeah, we do have to be careful that until there's sufficient data, you really can't jump to conclusions too strongly. Bad idea to draw the line through one data point.
Right.
I had just one clarification. I thought I heard you say the substitute teacher would go to 95, and I see on here it says 90. Is that incorrect?
Oh, you know what? I said 95. That was incorrect. It's 90. What's in writing is what I apologize. Thank you for clarifying that. It was always going to be 90. That's what's in writing. My mistake.
Okay. Anything else? May we have the roll, please?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Curran?
Yes.
Mr. Schmock?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. All right, before we adjourn then, Mr. Schmock, you had requested a little bit of time?
Yeah, just give me a little bit of time, please. I want to bring update the board here, and especially Jim and Daryl. We're meeting in those finance committee meetings in the morning. I need to let you know that I will not be available at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 30th of January, as I have had parents and young Cloverleaf students, sophomores, tell me that they're going to be at the Career Center at 9:15 to go through hosting Cloverleaf students at the Career Center, and they've asked me to be there, the kids and the parents, so I'll be there. Also, I've been asked by the Career Center Teachers Union to be in their negotiation meetings. The first one will be the 4th of February, the second one will be the 15th, the third one will be the 19th, and there's one tentative for third negotiation on the 22nd, and those start at 9 o'clock at the library. So I probably will not be available on those dates, unless they're afternoon. And I think that might be a problem with Jason.
Was one of those our finance committee meeting?
No, the first one is the 7th, I believe. And after that, I don't have to be there till. I'll be there. I'll be to that one. I thought it was the 6th or the 7th.
What? When is it?
6th.
6th?
Okay.
Does that one work still?
Yeah, I'm at 6. I'm at 6 to 8 o'clock in the afternoon. So. And also, just one other quick thing. I don't expect any answers. I'm just asking a question here because I don't understand. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a Daniel Deal come in and talk about the accidents and so forth that his wife has had at the rec center. And I found it interesting that he had said that the two people there had made out reports on the accident. Okay. My problem is Mr. Kabilis is pretty updated on most of the things that happened in his school, and he didn't know. I wonder where those reports went. Because, again, I don't understand this thing since we stopped the committee down there. My comment is I would think that if they were making out those reports, that they'd go to the athletic director, who then would either bring it to the board and or bring it to Daryl, and Daryl would bring it up. So I don't know if we've got to do a process change or a report change or whatever on that, unless I'm wrong. And if that you guys can tell me if I agree. No.
I can examine that. At some point, the board is going to have to answer how much information is too much, because I have student reports constantly. But understanding this is a bit different because it's the rec center. I'd be happy to look into that and get back with you on
Okay, well, I'm just saying that, first of all, they have left to Medina, and we want to get them back. Right, and number two, right. They're voters.
Right, sure.
And we don't want to irritate any voters at this point.
Well, I had a very nice conversation with him after the meeting, and we have completed an audit of our ADA compliance, and I'll be reporting out that as well.
I figured that would be done. I'm not questioning anything. I'm just questioning where the information should go, and it should go from them to the AD.
Right.
Because that's who we're paying to take care of that and upgrade it.
Right.
Thank you, sir, for allowing me 5 minutes. I appreciate it.
So an ADA audit is of the school system, this building, or the rec center?
The rec center specifically.
Okay. Yeah. And you have any idea when you'll have that?
In your board update Friday.
Oh, so it's imminent, though?
Yes.
It's not often another month or 2 months or anything?
Oh, no. Okay. No, it's already occurred.
Okay.
I have a written synopsis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He had said that 2 weeks ago. I just didn't understand the reporting mechanism of how.
Well, I agree with you completely on that. Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely. That was everything you had, Bill?
That's right. You said 5 minutes.
Last item I'll mention is that I have gotten word back to Cheryl Ryan about the seminar or presentation on evaluation systems that should be at the April meeting. April 8th, I believe, is the April working session, work session. I did not talk to Cheryl personally because she was in a meeting, so I left a message on her phone and I hadn't heard back from her. But previous to that, she said she had either March or April available. And so, as far as I know, it should be the April 8th meeting that she's here.
Will that be the only thing covered in that meeting?
Yeah.
Potentially.
So yeah. It's a work session.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly.
I gave my word.
About what?
That would be the only one, only thing on that meeting.
Okay. That's everything. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, second. Jason. Do we have a second? Thank you. Can you have the roll, please?
Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schmock?
Yes.
Schreiber.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Daryl, I need your signature for that.
Sure.
I need some signatures from you as well.
I can do that.